Welcome to another edition of the PW Mania Hot Tag Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, Justin C., joined by my co-host Cam and the chairman, Steven Vincent, as we are here to preview WrestleMania 40 coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday night. For me, at least, and we'll get into it when we talk about it, the most excited I've been for WrestleMania that I'm not going to in a very, very long time. I think they got two stellar nights worth of shows going into it. Obviously, a lot of hype, a lot of build. I mean, I've seen people on Twitter that I never see tweet about wrestling talking about it this weekend. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people getting into it, a lot of people watching it, and we're here to preview it all for you. Before we get into that, let's talk about the CM Punk interview that came out with Ariel Helwani this past week, where he pretty much, answered a lot more than Tony Khan ever did about anything like this. Going into situations like the Jack Perry incident with the whole real glass, and then, Perry mentioning something at All Out, and then, as the story goes, he asked Tony Khan to do something about it, and Tony Khan said, "What do you want me to do?" So then they went at the shuffle. They got the scruffle shuffle. Blah, they got into before Punk's match. Punk said he choked him a little bit, not that he attacked him. And then Punk said he quit, but went out and did everything in the match because he said he owed it to everybody. Basically coming out from this interview that Tony Khan is not a boss. Like, he basically said he would go to Tony Khan and ask him to take care of stuff, and Tony Khan wouldn't do anything. I mean, he was very, he said that when it came to the NDAs around Brawl Out, he said he didn't have to sign one for anything he did. There's the whole issue with the Hangman Page promo where Hangman went off script and just talking about how everything went off the rails from that interview after that. Just a whole lot of, he was very complimentary this whole time of everything that, he was like, he said he enjoyed his time in AEW. He doesn't regret it. He liked a lot of people there. But critical of like kind of what we've talked about before, how, it seems like just that Tony Khan is not like a boss. He is a millionaire who doesn't want to have to be mean to somebody and doesn't look to go out of his way to handle situations. And, Punk saying he never made Tony Khan ever fear for anybody. I think he said he never made anybody ever fear for his life. So then, of course, like the next few weeks or the next couple days on not weeks, days on Twitter and on AEW TV, you had, Eddie Kingston mentioned stuff about it. You had Adam Copeland, the guy that just came over from the WWE last year, signed a big money deal, talking about how AEW is the best wrestling promotion he's ever worked for. You had FTR saying stuff after Collision. Just one of those things where it's like they can't send somebody out there to, I think the Bucks said something during their entrance, but they can't just like ignore it. Or Tony Khan, even in an interview today for the Ring of Honor media scrum, he didn't say anything. So a lot to get to there. Just Cam, what were your thoughts on everything that happened with the interview and afterwards?
I think my favorite part of the interview was when CM Punk, said that they're not there to make money and they're there to have good wrestling shows. And I mean, I feel like AEW has been like that since the beginning, and I think it's taken people a while. Sometimes they have a little bit of story driven stuff, but it's far and few in between. It's, nowadays, especially the last 6 months to a year, it's kind of just been Daniel Bryan's vanity projects and just random matches and no follow-ups and stuff like that. So they're there not to make money. So, I mean, Punk saying that AEW doesn't want to make money is like Steve Jobs when he came back to Apple and they were like, no, we don't want to make money. We're just going to make everyone these really expensive custom phones and we're going to just lose money. Like, it makes no fucking sense. And of course the AEW fans and some of the bigger Twitter people, bigger Twitter wrestling personalities, whatever the fuck you want to call them on Twitter, stated that the cons could lose money for however many years and capitalism would make sure that they keep making money. And that's all good and fine. But if I'm a Fulham FC fan, like, where's go sign in Bombay, bring in fucking all the top talent for Fulham too. Like, if you're going to spend money and you don't care about making money, then bring in all the top talent to Fulham too. Punk seems happy. I mean, from all accounts, AJ Styles did his little interview thing today at the WrestleMania Super Show saying, he was hesitant about Punk coming back, but Punk seems happy and, all that stuff. And I saw a video of, Cody Rhodes bought like fruit, those fruit bouquet things that you can get for people. He bought it for hair and makeup for WrestleMania. And CM Punk was like joking with him, saying he's taking responsibility because that's what top guys do and all this stuff. You know, it seems like they're all having a lot of fun. And AEW, you know, they're drawing 800 people. They're drawing 1,000 people. Mercedes Moné didn't move the needle. Love her. But, you know, she went there. She openly said it on a podcast. She went there to go make money. She's going to come back to WWE. And that's what those guys are doing over there. And Edge trying to rally the troops, you know, live on television, came off as really like, really, really like ex-girlfriend. Like, no, I'm doing good too. When you're like stalking your ex vibes. And I don't know. It comes off bad, especially when it's WrestleMania week and the WWE is fucking white hot. And everyone, like you said, Justin, people that I follow on Twitter who mostly talk about sports are hyped for WrestleMania, and AEW and Tony Khan's probably sitting there like, hey, we got that show in Wembley coming up, and it'll probably be like Ospreay versus, you know, fucking, you know, whoever. So I don't know. It is what it is. I'm glad Punk's back in WWE. He seems to be much happier. And I think that I'm thankful for Tony Khan for getting Punk's love for wrestling back and getting him to the right place.
Yeah. And, you know, I kind of was joking with somebody else. I was talking about this earlier. It's like, the anti-CM Punk crowd is the anti-CM Punk crowd. You know, they will not, you know, of course, they're like, I see, like, of course Punk's going to frame it in the way that he wants. And of course, you know, Punk's getting his narrative out there, and I'm sure it's not true. And it's like, guys, you know, the Bucks and whoever else are doing the same thing, getting their narrative out there with Dave Meltzer and everybody else to try to go out there and say, hey, well, this is actually what happened. We're never going to actually know the whole true story unless there's video camera footage from it somewhere. I mean, you could have even like, you know, in shoot interviews 5 years from now, we probably still won't get the full story. You know, Punk's comments about guaranteed money, I think, were taken out of context, where he's basically saying it, you know, it's, you know, one of the things where the guys in the craft don't want to go out there and actually have, you know, work to get better if they have actual guaranteed money, where if they were just wrestling in front of a, you know, a house based on the gate, they'd want to go out there and actually improve themselves. But Chairman, what were your thoughts when you heard about the interview and read about it?
Yeah, it was a lot of stuff that Punk dropped, and it's just kind of funny that Ariel Helwani's already got issues with Tony Khan from their prior interaction, how long ago. So it's just kind of entertaining to see how much he would prod CM Punk. And, you know, you guys pretty much nailed a lot of the key points of everything. And Jack Perry's basically scapegoat now, as everyone calls him. And he's in real glass, even though when CM Punk wasn't the only one. You know, there's other people that said, yo, bud, don't use real glass. And it's just, you know, when AEW's first started, you know, I was a fan. I was excited. You know, they had a lot of wrestlers I liked. And, you know, they started bringing guys in that weren't getting utilized properly in the old WWE regime. But Tony Khan has basically an open checkbook. He's bringing in everybody. He's bringing in all these wrestlers. And he's not a boss, like y'all said. He's just, I want to have everything. I want to have this big collection. But I have no plans for these guys. I have guys that are idle. And I mean, I just want to have five-star matches. Well, TV, you know, they want to be entertained. You know, I mean, that's why your ratings are dropping, because people like the WWE formula better, the entertainment, the stories. You know, you all want to have five-star matches. That's cool. And there's people that are into that. And that's all fine. Everyone's got their own agenda, you know. But Tony Khan's not a boss. He can't handle conflict. And it's just, I'm really curious to see, like, what else is going to transpire, like, from the fallout of this, once more people speak on it, perhaps. I'm really curious to see what's going to happen, maybe by the end of the year even. Like, how many wrestlers, when their contracts are up, leave AEW and go to Impact or go to Japan or sign on with WWE or NXT? So I wonder who else is going to leave the WWE and go to AEW. Like, just with all this stuff out there right now, I mean, it's good that there's options for everyone, because not everybody can wrestle in WWE. There's only so many spots. So it's good to have other promotions, but at the end of the day, that place is kind of a mess, and I'm just really interested to see CM Punk have a healthy run. That's what I'm hoping for right now. That dude is always getting banged up, and I saw the comedy made about how WWE takes care of, you know, injuries, where he's kind of on his own for his tricep tear, and that just sucks. But there's a lot of stuff that's going to leak out here before WrestleMania this weekend, and it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it definitely will be, I'm sure. Like you said, it's Thursday night. I'm sure we'll hear more things coming out in interviews in the next couple of days. So it's interesting to listen. It was a fun little, you know, reading and hearing about it on Twitter as it went along, and then listening to it afterwards, and then obviously good talk to talk about it. All right, so I'll just send to WrestleMania 40, two nights, 13 total matches. I have looking at the show list here: 7 matches night one, 6 matches night two. You know, like we've talked about, but we're not going to go into how excited we talked about it leading up to it. It's like probably the most excited we've been since, in a very long time, for WrestleMania. Like I said, ever since, you know, I went to 35, so obviously I was excited to go there for that. But, you know, not counting that one, I probably the most excited I've been for it. So I'm just ready to get in here and break down the card. Let's just go start. I'm going to go in the match order that's listed on Wikipedia. Women's World Championship match, Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch. Again, you know, talking about Ariel Helwani, Rhea was being interviewed by him right after the Punk interview, and Becky came and, you know, confronted Rhea on the show. So it's been a good build for this match, just constant fighting back and forth. They got the pull apart brawl treatment this past Monday on Raw, with them going at fighting through security. So very solid build. Like, the big match, I think everybody, they've been teasing this match now going back, I want to say, to like last summer. So, you know, this is a match that people have wanted to see. You know, they happened on NXT once, but it hasn't happened on as big a stage as WrestleMania. But, you know, for me, as good, you know, as Becky has been, as, you know, great, Rhea has just been greater. And I don't think Becky is the person that should take the title off of Rhea Ripley. So I'm going to go ahead and say Rhea retains the title in this match. You know, I think, honestly, I would not be surprised if they're building to a Rhea Jade match at some point, even though Jade is on SmackDown right now and Rhea is on Raw. But, you know, we kind of all think Seth Rollins is taking some time off after Mania, and you almost wonder if Becky's going to do it too to promote her book a little bit more as well, even though it's already a New York Times bestseller. But I'm going with Rhea to retain the Women's World title here. Chairman, who are you going with?
You have the two biggest women wrestlers in the world right now on the biggest stage. Rhea has been dominant for the last how long? And Becky is going to be her biggest challenge. Probably her biggest challenge since WrestleMania last year against Charlotte Flair. And the build has been phenomenal. The interactions on social media, you know, outside interviews, like, everything has just been huge. I said it last week that I think this match could outdo last year's Rhea and Charlotte match. I also read somewhere that Motionless and White, who do Rhea Ripley's entrance, is going to do entrance live, apparently, which would be badass, and I'd be stoked because I'm a huge Motionless and White fan. So let's go. Apparently, Rhea Ripley's getting a tattoo done today. That's going to be painful if Becky slaps that around a little bit. But I agree with you, Justin. I think it's Rhea's time to shine. Triple H likes the long title reigns, and a lot of people know that, like, WrestleMania titles change hands like 60-something percent of the time, but I don't think this is the time to change the title. I think the story of Rhea's dominance is more interesting. And like you said, I think Becky could go on a hiatus after WrestleMania for a little bit, promote her book, be a mom, recharge, you know, find a new story. So I think it's Rhea's domination continues.
All right, Cam, who are you going with?
I mean, Rhea Ripley's been so dominant the last 2 years that we're having a clean sweep in a match that involves Becky Lynch. That's how dominant Rhea Ripley's been. Everything you said, I think it's going to be better than Charlotte. It's going to be, I mean, without the Rock stuff, like, if we just had a world where Punk was wrestling Rollins, well, that's probably still main event. This is a main event caliber match. And it either is, I'm going to assume open night one. I don't, maybe open night one or open night two. I feel like Jay versus Jimmy will open one of the shows. I don't really know. We know what's closing both nights, but this is either going to open one, either night one or night two. We're going with Rhea Ripley. And her dominance continues. I mean, there's not much to say. I think she's on that Roman Reigns level right now. She's on God mode, and there's not very many top-tier challengers. So once Becky's done, you know, we'll see what the WWE can come up with after. But I'm really looking forward to this match. It's been so insane that WrestleMania is so this hyped, and we've barely even talked about this build, but it's been really good, like Justin said, and it's going to be – I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, this and Jay and Jimmy are both on night one. That's why I'm surprised, too. I thought for sure those two were being pegged as opening matches. especially you can play off of the whole Jay and Jimmy doing it 30 years after Bret and Owen did it. All right, that moves us over to the Intercontinental title match with Gunther defending against Sami Zayn. I did enjoy this past Monday on Raw the little vignettes they did at the Performance Center with Chad Gable training Sami Zayn to get ready for Gunther. Very cinematic style approach they did with those. Chairman, I'll go over to you first on this one. Who you got?
We all love Sami Zayn. He's the underdog. He's definitely the underdog here. Going against Gunther in his huge, huge run as champion. But I do not see a scenario where Sammy's the guy to beat Gunther. I just don't see it. So Gunther's going to retain. I think this might be a match where Gunther just might slap the shit out of his chest and call it a day.
All right, Cam, who are you going with?
Okay, now when we did our beginning of the year predictions, I went on record stating that Sami Zayn was going to be the guy to dethrone Gunther. Didn't really look like he was going to get a WrestleMania match, and now he's in the match. And it's one of those things where do I stick with what I originally picked when I did our predictions just so I can continue down that track? When we talk about the titles, I think there's going to be a few title changes as we get further into the show. I just don't see this being one of them. I think Gunther's really hitting his stride right now. I mean, I feel like they're hitting on all cylinders kind of when they present him. I think Triple H has done a great job that he doesn't have to be on every single week. I think it's good that he's 2-3 weeks a month. I think they're hitting on all cylinders. I think they found a groove. I mean, I really liked the build last week. The final, they didn't go with a brawl apart. They did that for Becky and Rhea. They didn't do any of that stuff. It's just Sami Zayn is focused. And I kind of think we're going to get like a heel turn out of this or something. You know, I feel like Sami Zayn's going to like just lose it. And the next night on Raw, Chad Gable's going to be like, it's okay. You know, you did your best or whatever. And Sami Zayn's just going to fucking turn on him. And we're going to get some sort of heel Sami Zayn run out of this. Maybe it's a frustration. I don't know. But Gunther retains. It's been a great run. And I think he's really, really hitting his stride now.
Yeah, I'm going to make this a clean sweep as well. I just don't think, like, again, you know, Becky's already a dom, like we said with the women's match. Becky is already an established star. Her beating Rhea for the title doesn't really do anything. And you look at this situation with Sami Zayn, it's kind of like Sami's kind of peaked last year during the Bloodline storyline and the Elimination Chamber match with Roman Reigns. And then main eventing night one of WrestleMania with Kevin Owens against the Usos. After that, he kind of went stagnant. We talked about it when they were tag champions. It just didn't feel like they were that big of a deal. And again, you know, I'm glad Sammy's got a match. I think it's going to be a really great match. I just think Gunther is the guy to, you know, keep a title here. I don't think Sami Zayn winning the IC title, especially a cold Sami Zayn, like as far as buildup goes, does anything. So I'm saying Gunther retains here as well. So moving on now to the ladder match for the tag titles. We got Judgment Day defending against DIY, Miz and R-Truth, New Day, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, and then Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Now, I swear I heard the other day watching, I think it was Raw, that they said that a match continues until both sets of titles are grabbed, which makes me kind of believe we may have two different champions and splitting that up, but I can't see that officially listed anywhere. So I'm just going off the assumption that this match is going to have just one winner at the moment. Cam, you're up first on this one. Who are you going with?
Oh man, if you would have asked me, you know, leading into the show, I think we're talking about Miz and R-Truth, but it's, I don't want to say they've gone away from him, but it has lost a little bit. You know, I'm half tempted to go DIY. I just don't know. I mean, I think there's going to be three title changes. And originally I had this as one of them for that WrestleMania moment. And you know what? I'm still going to go with it. I think I'll still take the Miz and R-Truth, and I see if they can bounce back from that. I mean, I love Finn and Priest. I mean, I feel like they've had a great run. Judgment Day is a focal point of Raw every single week. Let's just freshen things up a little bit, maybe push DIY back up the card a little bit. I'm really surprised that Theory and Waller are in this match. I mean, you could have went a couple of different routes. You know, they could have done a couple of different things. I'm just really, really surprised that they're in this match. And it just goes to show how fucking far Austin Theory has fallen.
All right. Yeah, I think there's going to, I mean, yeah, Judgment Day is doing one of those things. Like you said, they're kind of hot right now with Rhea and, you know, Damian Priest being Senor Money in the Bank. I mean, looking at this, I don't think, you know, I feel like I can eliminate Dunn and Pate, New Day, and, you know, Theory and Waller at this point. I think I'm, you know, they've been really hyping up DIY, this being their first WrestleMania and looking for a big thing. I'm going to go ahead and pick DIY to win this match. I think it's a good reset for the tag team division. You know, Gargano and Ciampa were at their best when they were tag champions in NXT. So I'm going to go ahead and say DIY end up winning the tag titles here and start a period maybe on both brands. And Chairman, who are you going with in this one?
You know, originally, you know, a few months back, I was convinced that it was going to be Judgment Day versus Awesome Truth, just one-on-one match, but for some reason they kind of just dropped the ball in the R-Truth storyline after the Judgment Day sever, and then they're like, oh, it's WrestleMania, we need to get more people involved, so let's have a bunch of teams get in here. And realistically, I only see three teams winning, so those are three teams, which the three teams you pretty much wrote off, Justin, like, don't even show up, like, bring out the Hardy Boys corpses or something, I don't know, apparently that rumor's going around. But yeah, I mean, DX is definitely a sleeper, definitely. I don't think the Judgment Day is going to win, though, because there's a lot of rift going on. I mean, you see the backstage segments of Raw lately. Dom's hanging out with, you know, freaking Santos and those guys now. Andrade, Priest is kind of disgruntled. Rhea's getting frustrated. It's like that old fashioned's going to blow. You don't know which way it's going to blow. JD with his big head. But I still think they're going to give Truth his WrestleMania moment, because he's never really had one, I don't think. And Miz, you know, he's had his moments, obviously, but I think it'd just be good for Miz and Truth to get theirs, get a moment, you know, drop the titles like a month later, because that's usually how it goes for things like that, especially since those guys are, well, Miz is in his 40s, I think Truth's in his 50s, he don't look like it, but, you know, those guys can literally drop the titles to, like, I don't know, let's say the Creed brothers or something. But yeah, like you were saying before, too, I heard rumors about that double title thing too, where someone might actually take the Raw titles and someone might take the SmackDown titles, so they might split them up. Yes, we will find out.
All right, and that'll lead us into our brother versus brother match, Jay versus Jimmy Uso here, a match they've been teasing since SummerSlam last year when Jimmy turned on Jay and stuck with the Bloodline. Jay's got to fight Solo Sikoa this coming Friday on SmackDown. So we'll have that match to look forward to on Friday night. I expect these guys, you know, obviously two brothers, I expect them to go all out for this type of match. You know, obviously we know they're great wrestlers. I got a feeling that, you know, the way this whole story is going to build up, and we'll get into it when we get further down to the Bloodline card, is that one by one, the Bloodline is going to pick off all the guys Cody wanted to form his Avengers team with at the end of WrestleMania Night 2. But I'll get more into that down the line. So I think Jimmy ends up taking this match. It'll be cool to see the whole crowd do the whole yeet yeet thing with Jay when he comes out. And again, I expect this to be a really good match. I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being a match of the weekend, personally, at least in WWE from the WWE side of stuff. But I think Jimmy ends up winning this one here. Chairman, who are you going with?
This is definitely a tough one, and a lot of people would think that main event Jey Uso would win this because he's the favorite, he's got the yeet, he's got the crowd, he's got Pat McAfee dancing on a table. But Jimmy Uso, really kind of quiet, kind of just there, kind of no yeet, but not really doing anything. Like, Solo Sikoa is more featured lately than Jimmy is. Jimmy's just kind of background noise. So he really needs this win. Like, if he gets this win, he gets one over his brother. You know, it gets him a push a little bit, you know, could lead to bigger things for both of those guys down the road. I'm excited for this match. I think they're both fantastic performers. We've seen what they do in the tag team at WrestleMania big stage. So this one-on-one match will be great. I think Jimmy's going to win, whether Solo's assist or another Bloodline member shows up out of nowhere. I mean, so this should be a phenomenal match. I'm looking forward to this one.
All right, and Cam, who are you going with?
Yeah, I mean, I had that same thought. I was like, okay, Jey Uso, main feature on Raw. But I feel like we're just building up to something, and I agree. I think that Jimmy's going to win because it just fits the narrative of WrestleMania as a whole better. It's going to be a fucking fantastic match. 20-25 minutes, hopefully, at least. First time ever. Like I said, we wish they would have opened because it would have been Brett versus Owen 30 years later, but, you know, it is what it is. Maybe they still will. Who knows? But, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I think Jimmy wins just to kind of set things up for night two, and they can have a little segment where Jimmy, you know, they're all congratulating Jimmy for the win, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's going to be a great match, and I'm really looking forward to it.
All right, so now let's move on to the six-woman tag with Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi taking on Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. Jade Cargill, had her debut on SmackDown this past Friday. Looked like $1 million doing it. The perfect way to present her, you know. They didn't rush her debut at all. They knew she needed time at the Performance Center. That all got worked out. And like I said, I think this is going to be the perfect match for her where, you know, you have Bianca and Naomi, two, you know, WWE veterans who will know what they're doing out there. And then you got, obviously, Asuka and Kairi Sane, two, you know, you could argue the two best women wrestlers in the company, and Dakota Kai, who will go out there and just be a bump machine for Jade Cargill. It's the perfect way to hide, you know, we don't know what Jade's going to be like now. We haven't seen Jade actually wrestle a wrestling match since she left AEW, and I feel like that's got to be at least a year now at this point. So who knows what kind of improvements Jade's gone through in the ring while training in the Performance Center there. So, Chairman, I'll go over to you on this one. Who are you picking?
Oh, I think I'm going to drop my quote-unquote lock of the night here and picking the team of Bianca, Jade, and Naomi, because Bianca's undefeated at WrestleMania. There's no way she's losing. No way Jade's going to lose her first match on a big stage like this. And, you know, Naomi, she's Naomi. She's a veteran. And I think, you know, those three are going to beat Dakota, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. And, you know, this kind of goes off what we originally thought, that it was going to be Bianca and Jade against the Kabuki Warriors for the tag titles. But, you know, Naomi's been getting featured heavily, you know, since her return. And Dakota, I didn't think she'd be cleared by now, but she's already back in the ring too, which is cool. So, gives her a big spot, so I'm all fine with these six women having a big, great match. We'll probably have a tag match, I'm guessing, some combination on either Raw or SmackDown more than likely after this, but I'm throwing the lock on Bianca, Jade, and Naomi for sure.
All right, Cam, who are you going with?
Yeah, I'm going with Chairman too. Lock of the night, I mean, we've been kind of waiting for it. Isn't it kind of funny that we talked about Jade in AEW? All right, time to take the TBS title off of her. Time to move her to Dynamite. Time to put her in the ring with Britt Baker and everything. And Tony Khan just never fucking did it. And her debut is in a Royal Rumble in front of 70,000 people. Her first match is with an undefeated superstar with, you know, NXT royalty with all kinds of stuff. And it's just so funny that, like, hey, Tony, just you see what you do with your stars? And I was like, no? Oh, okay, cool. You just let your stars cut shitty promos on live television. Oh, okay, we get it. Yeah, lock of the night. Should be a great match. I assume we'll maybe keep these three together, quote-unquote, for a little bit, and assuming Jade probably turns on Naomi first, and that could be her possibly her first singles feud down the road. Who knows? But, I mean, I expect cool entrances. I expect, like Chairman said, Dakota Kai to bump around and probably eat the pinfall and everything. But Jade looked like $1 million last week on Raw. And I mean, for some things, we kind of still critique a little bit about the WWE. Excuse me. Triple H hits a lot of things directly, 100% bullseye, and this is one of them.
Yeah, I'm going to make it a clean sweep, too. And again, a lock of the night, I agree with you guys here, too, that, you know, there's no way Jay Cargill's losing her first match, even if it is a six-person tag and she doesn't take the pin. That's not happening. You know, Dakota or Damage Control may have a bad weekend, but I think this, like you said, this match is going to, these people, they're going to bump around. Jay Cargill's going to look great. And like you said, it's going to be one of those things where this is the, we all thought about there possibly being money involved with Jade and WWE, and now we get the chance to see it play out in person. All right, that leads us to the tag team match just made this past week on, I don't remember which it was, Raw or SmackDown, but you've got Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee taking on Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. Like Trevin said, you know, that Dominic Mysterio has been kind of hanging out with Santos and Andrade recently and not kind of like hanging with Mommy as much in Judgment Day, so there's some rifts being made there. Cam, you're first up on this one. Who you picking?
This one's interesting because Ray got the win the first time. I kind of feel like if we're going to play off Judgment Day losing the tag titles and Dom gets a tag team win at WrestleMania, that you could see even more beef right there. I'm going to go with Dom and Santos. I'm really stoked for Dragon Lee. He gets a fucking WrestleMania moment. That's super cool. It should be a fantastic match, and I hope that Dom gets the pin on Ray this time, and we get a little bit of momentum, and we get maybe Dom there, like, you know, maybe a split from the Judgment Day. Maybe Dom goes to SmackDown and goes over there. Who knows? But I think it's going to be an awesome tag team match. But I'm going to go Dom and Santos Escobar.
Yeah, I hope these guys at least get like 10, 12 minutes and just go full on lucha out there. You know, if Ray's knees can hold up. Like you said, it's great that Dragon Lee is getting a Mania match. Just like, you know, people were ripping on him for going to WWE and going down to NXT, and now look, here he is, what, a year and a half later, he's already on a WrestleMania, and he's getting to team with Rey Mysterio. So I'm going to take the faces here. I'm going to go with like the story that, you know, Rey and Dragon Lee win, and Dominic is not as focused then with Judgment Day, and again, like a bad night for outside of Rhea for Judgment Day. Chairman, who are you going with?
Yeah, I was kind of wondering, like, how they're going to get some of these guys on the card, and obviously the LWO and the Gato del Fantasma rivalry has been, like, on SmackDown, like, every week for the past how many months, and it's just kind of funny to me that Ray brings in Dragon Lee. I like Dragon Lee, but it's just funny, like, he pretty much knows, like, the guys that follow him aren't very good, and Carlito's aged like a rotten apple. Like, he's got to bring somebody in, because Santos is on top of his game. We're all big Santos fans here. And Dirty Dom's growing on me. I think he's going to have a breakout here. His entrance last year at Mania was badass when he got escorted in with a security. So I'm hoping he has another cool entrance this year. But I'm going to go with Dom and Santos to win. I think those two need to win more. Ray can't keep taking the WrestleMania wins from his kid. That's just not cool. So I'm going with those guys.
All right, and that leads us to the main event of night one. The Rock and Roman Reigns against Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. Of course, I'm sure you know the stipulations by now, that if Rhodes and Rollins win, that the bloodline is barred from ringside. But if Rock and Roman win, it's bloodline rules at night two of WrestleMania for the Roman-Cody match. So it'll be interesting to see how much stuff Rock does. I mean, it's his first match. I think it's good that it is a tag match that he's doing and not a singles match, so he's not going to get super blown up doing it. And, you know, him and Roman, you know, Roman can do his talking thing and kind of, you know, ease stuff up a little bit. I think that Rock and Roman are winning. It'll be interesting to see, I think, who takes the fall, on the face side of things. I think it'll end up being Cody. I think Cody, you know, it plays into the narrative that Cody is, you know, maybe not as confident going into night two of WrestleMania now that he took a pinfall and that the odds are stacked against him. So that'll be interesting there. I think just the spectacle alone will make this a fun match. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, going to be a great match or anything, but just the spectacle of seeing Rock wrestle again out there, you know, in front of a crowd, I think will be fun. And, you know, who knows what will come with Rock in the ring down the line in this coming year, whether it's SummerSlam or next year's Royal Rumble. I'm sure he'll wrestle at Mania again. But again, you know, we talked about it. This storyline's been great. Rock's been awesome. And this whole build up with his promos, you know, kicking Cody's ass a couple weeks ago with the blood on the belt. You know, it's funny, a couple of my friends that don't follow it week to week and they're just like, know about wrestling actually thought it was Rock versus Cody given all the stuff going on. I had to tell them, no, it's a tag match and this is what's going to happen if so-and-so wins. But, I mean, you know, just the Rock being out there has people interested in wrestling again that just barely pay attention to it, like we said, to start the show. But I'm picking Rock and Roman to win this one here. Let's go over to Chairman. Who you got?
I'm going to be sad when the final boss goes away, because that freaking final boss Rock run has been freaking amazing. Like, he just knows how to push all the buttons. Like, he obviously knows the business, grew up in the business, and he's elevating everybody around him. Like, that's what a guy like The Rock is supposed to do. And this match is going to be interesting. Yeah, we'll shit on The Rock because he's in his 50s. He's going to be gas in the corner halftime, which is why they're doing a tight match. Roman's going to be doing a lot of the heavy lifting. And obviously Cody and Seth, But of course, the ultimate question is who wins this match? Obviously, they got the crazy stipulation where if Roman and Rock win, then it's Bloodline rules. Well, they're going to have that match. That's going to happen. But how do we get there? Does Drew McIntyre show up and screw Seth over? I mean, obviously, it doesn't fit in that story, but Drew doesn't like being forgotten about. I think he's going to be the one that screws those guys over. I mean, sure, Jimmy and Solo will probably get involved too, but I think Drew is going to be the factor that screws everything over for Seth and Cody, and Seth's going to eat the pin, whether it be The Rock or whether it be Roman. So I think that's how we get there.
All right, Cam, who are you going with?
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a spectacle. I mean, The Rock was like half hour late to his autograph signing today, and then he proceeded to let the fans know that paid like $500 to be there, that fucking Jalen Hurts sucks quarterback, and I was like, I popped so hard. Love it. Yeah, I mean, it's been a fantastic run. It's going to be a fucking spectacle of all spectacles. I do think that Cody eats the pin. I expect Drew to maybe go beat up on Seth or something. Maybe not necessarily costing the match. Maybe, who knows, maybe he gets down there and Seth tries to hit a curb stomp on The Rock and Drew distracts him and they beat the shit out of Cody. Who knows? Cody's eating the pin. It makes the most sense. Unless we're just all fucking wrong and I don't know. Who knows? But the way we're all playing it up in our heads, Cody, in my opinion, I guess in our opinions, like he needs to eat the pinfall. It just means so much more for night two if he does.
And we're going to move right on here now into night two. Let's start with, as you bring up Drew McIntyre, the World Heavyweight Championship with Seth Rollins defending against Drew McIntyre. Drew has just been fucking money. We talk, you know, if it wasn't for this whole Rock being back thing, the main story of WrestleMania would be how money Drew McIntyre is right now with all the promo stuff he's doing, that fake eulogy he did the other night. Of course, CM Punk is going to be on commentary for this match now. That was determined a couple weeks ago. But man, just, I saw a video today that Drew McIntyre posted as he was working out with Brian Cage at a gym somewhere in Philly, which is funny. And, you know, this is just a whole nother level of Drew. Just when we thought, okay, you know, WrestleMania 36, he had his time, he won his title, the crowd was behind him. And, you know, after, like, bro, it may not be, you know, maybe he's done now. And then boom, he is back with a vengeance, I would say. Cam, or Chairman, sorry, it's your turn for first year Chairman. Who are you going with?
It's weird because night one could almost tell you how night two is going to go as far as Seth and Becky goes. Because if Becky loses, I'm definitely more convinced that Seth's going to lose too. Like, they're going to go on a break together. I mean, I can definitely see that scenario. Seth's obviously have nagging injuries. He's put the company on his back. And I don't want Seth to lose. I'll be sad. But it's hard to bet against Drew right now with everything he's been doing. And sure, there's the talk that he hasn't re-signed yet, but he's re-signing. He's in this big spot at WrestleMania. And they're doing a Clash at the Castle again this year, I believe in Glasgow, Scotland, you know, right in Drew's backyard. So he's obviously featured on the poster. He's going to be featured in a big match. He's probably going to have the title. And obviously, we're going to get that match we talked about down the line when Punk comes back. You're going to get the triple threat probably, or maybe the one-on-one. I don't know how we're going to do it, but it's all going to happen at some point. It's just crazy, though, if you think about it, though. If CM Punk doesn't get hurt, what is Drew McIntyre doing at WrestleMania? I mean, that's the big question. Like, he's not having this spot. This is CM Punk, Seth Rollins. CM Punk's injury changed everything. And Drew McIntyre benefits from all of it. So, I hate picking Seth. I'm sad to do it because he's my boy, but the cards are on the table. I got to take Drew.
Cam, who are you going with?
Yeah, I mean, even from like a non-kayfabe perspective or whatever you want, Seth deserves time off. Nagging injuries, he's fucking carried the company on the back for the better part of a couple of years. So he deserves a nice, solid month or two off, you know. Drew wins here. I think that, you know, I talked about for a while now that can Drew, assuming Cody wins the main event, can Drew lead Raw with just cutting promos? You know, him and Gunther will have to kind of lead Raw for a little bit. So we'll see how Raw can be a little bit interesting going forward. But I definitely think he wins here. I think Drew's earned it. He gets his real WrestleMania moment. He continues to cut great promos. I mean, he's been fucking fantastic, man. He's just, and there's no way that he hasn't signed a contract already, especially if he wins that belt and the whole thing. I think they're really pandering to him going back to Scotland and all that stuff. Maybe that's when Punk comes back and announces that he's healthy. Who knows? The fucking entire country of Scotland will boo CM Punk. But yeah, I mean, I think Drew's going to win here. I think it's going to be a great night. And that kind of just plays into the whole overall story of WrestleMania as a whole as well.
Yeah, I'm going to make this a clean sweep here again as well. You know, Seth is a character. You know, he's still over with the crowd, obviously, but I think a shakeup is needed with the world title. It freshens things up over on Raw, having a whole new champion. Like I said, we said, like, if Seth takes some time off, Drew's just been killing it. We, like you said, we're building to Drew versus CM Punk at this point. It's pretty obvious that's where they're going with it. It's just a matter of how long does Punk need to get there. So, but yeah, Drew deserves, like he said, he deserves a shot of him winning this title in front of fans this time, unlike he at WrestleMania 36, where he did it in the Performance Center, and then WrestleMania 37, where he lost to Bobby Lashley. So Drew gets his time to celebrate in front of the fans, and, you know, obviously be a heel, but he'll be able to enjoy the moment in front of fans and get his win here. Let's go over now to the women's championship match, Io Sky versus Bayley. Cam, go over to you first on this one. Who do you got?
This is the second title change that I was talking about. I think it's been really good, and I think Bayley has earned her spot. She, you know, won the Rumble. We've kind of talked about Damage Control completely breaking up for, you know, maybe 6 months after their coming out at SummerSlam 2 years ago. So they made it, what, almost 3 years or 2 full years as a group, about a year and a half as a group. And then, you know, Bayley gets kicked out. She's going to get her WrestleMania moment. Damage Control just goes 0-2 at WrestleMania. And I think it's going to be a nice change of pace. I think Bayley as a face is going to do wonders for the SmackDown Women's Division. And maybe, I don't know if they want to jump Jade right into it. Who knows? But yeah, I think Bayley's going to win here. And this is, yeah, the second title change of WrestleMania.
Yeah, one thing I'll be interested in, I don't think, obviously, they'll bring back the old theme song, but I want to see if they bring back the wacky waving inflatable tube end for this show to give a bit of a extra pop for Bayley on her entrance. But yeah, I think, again, you know, I said this a couple weeks ago, or last week, I don't remember, but I said basically that I think Io Sky is, you know, the champion of this, a champion, but doesn't seems like almost like the least important person in Damage Control sometimes. And I think, again, like you said, a shakeup is, like I said, with Seth losing to Drew, I think a shakeup is needed here with Bayley winning. Give Bayley her WrestleMania moment, give her a big title win. You know, hopefully Ryan Satin doesn't report if she loses that, you know, she's crying in the hallway, hysterical, so everybody can hear. But I'm going with Bayley to win this title here, giving her her big singles win. Chairman, who are you going with?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Io Sky fan, but unfortunately, it's like you said, she's like the least important person of Damage Control. Like, she just hasn't really had good opportunities as a champion. Like, hasn't really had any good rivals or anything like that. It just kind of felt like, okay, you're a champion, you won Money in the Bank, cool, whatever. Bayley also won the Royal Rumble. She's got the story, and it's weird how she's kind of not presented like as big as like she could be. Like, I feel like they keep putting Bianca on all these, you know, posters and things. It's like, nothing against Bianca, but Bayley won the Royal Rumble. Bayley should be heavily featured more than she is. But Bayley's got that personality that people can get behind, and she's winning. I mean, that's lock and key pretty much too. But the question is then, obviously, we see on SmackDown where Bianca still has beef with her from the past, so I think that collision course is eventually going to happen where Bianca could turn heel, which would be a great character change for her. So that's kind of what I'm hoping maybe we get to at SummerSlam. But for now, Bayley gets her moment.
All right, that brings us to LA Knight, AJ Styles. I really actually enjoyed that little the build-up they had for this, where the last couple weeks where LA Knight showed up to AJ Styles' house, You know, they did a good job making it seem like, you know, if this is Vince and Kevin Dunn era, there would be random cameras everywhere. But they did it really well with, like, you know, the one camera that was with AJ, and then they get, you know, the body cam footage of the cops to show everything else there. And then even this past Friday on SmackDown, where they had AJ talking about if LA Knight was there right now, and they're freaking out that it was somebody and somebody, and then it finally ended up being a security, you know, he was dressed up as a security guard next to the announce table. Just a nice little build for, like, a, you know, like a solid upper mid-card WrestleMania match here. Chairman, over to you first. Who are you going with?
I'm going to say this is the hardest match to pick, in all honesty, because, all right, so LA Knight and AJ Styles has been kind of one of those programs where it just hasn't clicked the way it should have. I don't know. It's just LA Knight's big push kind of just didn't get to where it should have, and AJ Styles is kind of just there at this point in his career, and this is almost like a, hey, we need you guys to do a match together. Like, we all wanted to see LA Knight and Logan Paul, and we didn't get that. So, I mean, LA Knight's going to win this match. AJ Styles doesn't need the wins. His WrestleMania moments have been kind of whatever, and hopefully this win propels LA Knight to something bigger and better.
Yeah, AJ Styles is also really huge right now. I don't know what he's been. Maybe he found a stash of Ico Pro somewhere in the basement of Titan Towers that Vince left there when he got kicked out, but he is jacked at this point. It's more jacked than he's ever been in his career. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think AJ would. It's one of those things where I think both guys would benefit from a win, depending on what you want to do with them after the show. Yeah, if you want to push AJ as a top heel, I know AJ's getting up there in age. I mean, LA Knight's older too. I think I'll go with LA Knight in this one as well. This is a very tough match to call. I could see it going either way, but I'll lean LA Knight on this one. Cam, who are you going with?
You know, we're all very excited about this WrestleMania, but a lot of, I mean, is this going to be the first one where we haven't all of us picked the same thing? Have we had one yet? Or, oh no,
I picked Raven DIY. I picked DIY, and then I also picked Ray and Dragon Lee, and you guys picked. You and Chairman are right down the middle so far with everything.
Okay, I'm gonna go AJ Styles here because I agree they both could use the win, and we keep waiting for an LA Knight breakout moment, and we're like, okay, and then it's not coming. So maybe Triple H is like, yeah, I like him, but I just don't really see. I don't see. Triple H just doesn't see it. Maybe I'm going AJ Styles here. I think LA Knight has fallen down the super duper totem pole here. I think that he is just, I mean, he's still over, but I just don't, I mean, you see it on TV. I don't think Triple H believes in him, or this would be him versus Logan Paul, or this would be him versus whoever, or he would have had a title match by some, I don't know. He had the match with Roman and Saudi, and ever since then, nothing. And I'm going to AJ Styles here because I think AJ Styles needs the win too, and I think that they're kind of pushing AJ Styles a little bit, and I think he's going to pass up LA Knight on the pecking order come WrestleMania.
All right, and speaking of the U.S. title, that's next. Triple threat match with Logan Paul defending against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. Like, another tough one to call because, you know, we don't know, is Logan Paul sticking around for a long time? I mean, Randy Orton, I feel like Randy Orton's back could just explode him to a million pieces at any point. So, for me at least, I don't think Randy Orton really needs a U.S. title. And like I said, Randy Orton's one bad bump away, I think, from, you know, ending, unfortunately, maybe not wrestling again. So it comes down to me, I think, between Kevin Owens and Logan Paul. Is Logan Paul being around this long, you know, is he going to stick around and keep defending the U.S. title? I'm going to lean in the Kevin Owens camp that I think Kevin Owens is going to win this match here and win the U.S. title. You know, it gives him a title to hold around with. He can go around, defend it. Maybe he does a U.S. title challenge for all we know. But I think Kevin Owens, again, this is actually probably tougher, the toughest match I think to pick for the night, for me at least. But I think Kevin Owens gets his revenge on Logan Paul here and ends up pinning him to win the U.S. title. Cam, who are you going with?
Yeah, same. I mean, we talked about matches that have been hard to call. I feel like these are the two hardest ones because you don't know who's going to win. I mean, we can make arguments for all the matches we've done so far for why we think so-and-so is going to win that match. We just did one where we kind of disagreed on. And this one is tough for me because I think Logan Paul obviously is here for the long run. I mean, I can't fucking stand his podcast co-host, but when he has wrestlers on there, I'll kind of listen to it a little bit. But his buddy on there is a fucking annoying as shit. He's just riding his friend's coattails, but whatever. And you know, Logan's talked about like not smoking weed as much because he's more focused on wrestling and all this stuff. So I think he is in it for the long haul. But I also think I want to see him chase too. And I'm not saying he'll turn into a babyface here, but I feel like Kevin Owens deserves his moment. I mean, you can make an argument for Randy Orton, but Randy Orton doesn't need the fucking U.S. title. He doesn't need a title ever again the rest of his life. I'm gonna go. Damn, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Kevin Owens here too because I think we're both just riding the Kevin Owens bandwagon. It's Kevin Owens, KO Mania 4 or 5, I believe. He's got the shirt, so they continue to do the shirt, which I think is a great tradition they've carried on. Yeah, I'm gonna go Kevin Owens here because I love him. We all love him. I think it's time for him to get a little bit more shine on the show. I think they've been using him more on SmackDown lately, but let's get him a bigger, another WrestleMania moment. And let's let him have the title. Logan's not there every single week. So yeah, let's bring back the US Open, the US title open challenge, and let's have him face Dragon Lee and let's have him face all kinds of guys.
All right, and Chairman, who are you going with?
Hardest match to pick by far. You got the KO and Randy Orton bromance that's gonna basically blow up now. Whether it be which one has to knock out Logan Paul first or what. I was doing some diving here because I couldn't remember if Randy Orton actually won a US title or not. And behold, he did in 2018. So it's not too long ago. So I was going to say, okay, Randy Orton maybe hasn't won the US title, but he did. Otherwise, that would have been my pick. But yeah, it's like you all said, one more bump, he's toast. So you're looking at KO, you're looking at Logan Paul. And I don't know. It's just, they're so weird of KO. Like, one minute they gave him big spots, like obviously he had the big match of Austin a couple of years ago, and then they kind of just forget about him for a few months, and then oh, go fight Roman Reigns at Royal Rumble or something. It's like he's just like this roller coaster guy, and Logan Paul's obviously on the up and up. You know, he's this annoying heel. He does a good job at it. He's growing on me, I'll admit it. And it's just, I think he's gonna keep the title. I really do. I think that there's more stories to be told of Logan Paul. I think, you know, the outside work he does with the WWE, he's in it for the long haul. I think he signed an extension. So it's just, I think just, I can't really see anybody else. And maybe we finally get that LA Knight Logan Paul collision down the road here because there's like a zillion international pay-per-views coming up. Oh, I'm sorry, Premier Live events. So that's kind of what I'm thinking.
All right, six-man tag, Philadelphia Street Fight, The Pride, Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford with B-Fab against the Final Testament, Karrion Kross, Authors of Pain, Occam and Razor with Scarlett and Paul Ellering. Talk about a random collection of guys in a match, like with the, you know, putting together for WrestleMania card. I feel like Triple H always has a soft spot for Karrion Kross because he like wears leather jackets and stuff. And I think I've seen Karrion Kross spit water before, so who the hell knows? But you know, Street Fight at least will probably keep people interested in this match. While I'm sure, you know, 50% of the building will end up going to the bathroom for a beer break or bathroom break or a beer break. But Cam, who are you going with in this one?
Yeah, I mean, I almost feel bad, but this is definitely out of, you know, there's been matches on the WrestleMania cards where it's, hey, go refill your, go grab another beer from the fridge or whatever. This is definitely that match. I'm gonna go Bobby Lashley and Street Profits because I mean they haven't seen much out of them, but I have no fucking faith at all in Karrion Kross. I have no faith in the Authors of Pain, even though hey, they're back. I can't even remember what happened to them, or I don't know if they were part of one of the mass releases. And Triple H is like, I need a big tag team for Karrion Kross because maybe this will get him over. And Triple H tries so hard with Karrion Kross. And I said since day one, man, I saw him on the Indies one time, and I'm like, this guy fucking sucks. He's no personality. Like, he has a hot wife, and that's it. Yeah, I'm going Bobby Lashley, Streets Profits. I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah, I'm kind of gonna go that way too. There's more, you know, potential in that Lashley group, especially like we talked about with Montez Ford potentially being a breakout star somewhere down the line. So, you know, they have more potential, I think, as a top group than Karrion Kross's group does. So, yeah, like you said, I'm just going to go ahead and just say, yeah, they'll win this match. Who are you going with, Sherman?
This is probably the one match that is not WrestleMania worthy. This doesn't belong on the WrestleMania. I'm sorry. I was a Karrion Kross fan once upon a time ago in the NXT days, but I've lost interest at this point, even myself. This faction sucks. Razor and Akar should never been brought back. Street Profits should be in the ladder match for the tag titles because Montez Ford is a dude who just goes, and I would rather see those guys in that match than this. Lashley, I mean, he could have found something for Lashley. Hell, he could have had him in that Logan Paul, KO, Randy Orton thing for the U.S. title. I mean, there's ways they could have done it with those three. Lashley, the Street Profits belong to WrestleMania. The other three don't. And that's going to be the, I'm going to get snacks, I'm going to take a deuce, whatever it may be, break. So, sorry guys, but this ain't it. Oh, I'm picking Street Profits and Lashley to win.
All right, and that leads us to the big one, the main event, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes 2 for the Undisputed WWE World Heavyweight, or Undisputed WWE Universal Championship. It's got a big feel, a big fight feel to it. I think it'll be great. Cody, everything ever since they pivoted back to the Cody Roman Reigns story has been phenomenal. I don't think they've missed a beat at all in any of the buildup in this match. I think every single week, every single Raw, every single SmackDown, every Rock promo on Instagram has been fantastic. Every Cody interview he's done leading up to it has been great. And like I said, the way I think this goes is I think, like I said, Rock, we obviously all picked Rock and Roman to win night one. I think, Seth gets taken out, maybe by Drew, Jay gets taken out, all these guys that Cody helped pick to fend off the bloodline. And there was a little seed planted a couple weeks ago when Rock was kicking Cody's ass outside and they had the production trucks out there. And, they have all the WrestleMania productions trucks now. But for some reason, they focused on the production truck that's not one that had photos of John Cena and Steve Austin's faces on them. And I think we're going to see the bloodline out there, Cody, struggling with everybody. And just when it looks like Cody's cornered, that out come John Cena and out come Stone Cold Steve Austin. They fight off The Rock. They fight off Jimmy Uso. They fight off Solo Sikoa. And it gets down to Cody versus Roman one-on-one. They go at it. They go back and forth. And I think, I almost want to say it's a lock of the night, but at the end of the day, I said the same thing last year too, I feel like. I think Cody finally finishes his story here. And Cody ends WrestleMania as the champion. Chairman, who are you going with?
Oh, boy. Like, if Rock... Oh, wow. If Roman wins, Philadelphia will be gone. It won't exist no more. It'll be completely gone.
That might not be a bad thing, but yeah.
Fair point. But, like, we talked in the past how WWE... especially in the Vince era, they're always too late with a baby face. Like, when they're super over. I remember this goes back to, like, Samoa Joe. Like, they would never pull the trigger on him or Braun Strowman until it's too freaking late. Like, when someone's over, like Cody Rhodes, he's, like, the most over baby face I've seen in a long time. And it's hard to get a baby face over. Usually it's cool to root for the villain. Usually it's cool to back the villain. I mean, I remember a lot of people were behind Roman Reigns, when he became the tribal chief, head of the table. Everyone loved it, but we're like, how many years in it now? How many days of the title reign? We got super white hot baby face Cody Rhodes on the rise, feuding with the final boss Rock. You have to put the title on the man. This is the moment. Like, if we don't do it here, when are we gonna do it? Are we gonna wait another fucking year? No, you can't. We gotta do it now. It has to happen. If Roman wants to go away, like he said he's gonna do, if he loses, so be it. His time has come, it's gone. And here's the crazy thing that I will always remember, that Roman Reigns beat Bray Wyatt for the title. I mean, that's how long it's been. And Bray Wyatt was released, came back, and unfortunately passed away. I'm using this as a plug about his documentary that I watched on Peacock the other day. It was fantastic. Definitely check it out if you haven't. But that's how long Roman's had the title for. So please, Cody, please win.
All right. And Cam, who are you going with?
I mean, it's all come down to this, right? 360-ish days ago, we sat here and we're like, Cody's winning. It's set it up. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And they didn't do it. And I mean, I don't want to say people won't give a shit about Cody if he loses and he comes out on Raw the next night and cuts a promo. I think people will still care. It'll just die a little bit, like 70%. And no one will believe that he has a chance to win the title again. And no one will believe that he could beat The Rock one-on-one at SummerSlam if they do go that route this year. Who knows what The Rock's schedule is like. I know he's going to film some movie. I mean, he's done so much better as a wrestler these last few months that I think he's refound his calling and, you know, put the Black Adam shit behind him and just come back to WWE almost full-time, but whatever. He's rich enough. He doesn't need to be in fucking movies anymore. Rock, stop doing movies. On the off chance, someone from $7 production listens to this, $7 production listens to this podcast, tell The Rock, stop fucking making movies. There's no point. You're rich. Like, you have kids. Like, just wrestle. Just chill. I don't know. Cody's going to win, but I mean, are we going to get all the bells and whistles? Are we going to get Stone Cold and John Cena and all this shit? Like, it would make the moment cool. Like, I think I talked about last week or maybe the week before that it would put Cody and Roman in that sphere of John Cena. I think Roman's there, basically. He's basically there. But that'll just put him there. And that'll put Cody there. Because if you got Stone Cold and Cena coming down to even up the odds or whatever and take out Solo and take out Jay, and Stone Cold probably hits Paul Heyman with a stunner, and that'll be fucking amazing. I'm in. I'm sold. Let's do it. Cody hits the crossroads one more time on Roman. 1, 2, 3. And then we'll, whatever, what comes May with, you know, the bloodline after that. If The Rock leaves right away, it'll be kind of weird. I don't know. We'll probably have some post thing where it kind of takes away from Cody's moment. I hope they don't do that, but some sort of Rock is like, all right, man, you know, Roman, you're not, I'm the tribal chief, you know, and they have their little fallout or whatever, and you set up a match for next year. Kind of takes away from Cody a little bit, but whatever. Roman gets time off. You know, we kind of talked about the tribal chief gimmick being done, and we're like, okay, we're over it. Roman still is, you know, we have to remember this guy's still, like, he fucking had leukemia twice, man. He's had cancer, like, two times. Like, it's okay that he works, like, 50 days a year where it's not the end of the world. But, yeah, I think Cody's going to win. I can't wait because come Thursday, I'm not going to have much to say. I'm not going to know what to say if he doesn't.
All right, so that's the actual WrestleMania preview part of the show. So, of course, you know, the Raw after WrestleMania is always the most talked about, even though last year's was awful, dog shit, terrible, when you let Vince McMahon get his hands on a script again. So you guys got any predictions as far as something we might see after WrestleMania? Damian Priest cash in, a surprise MJF appearance. Any thoughts, Chairman? Anything you might think that pops into your mind?
Yeah, I mentioned that before, I totally forgot, but MJF made his first tweet since he lost the title. Regards to, I guess, Rock bought a picture from his ex-fiance that she painted of Cody and The Rock from the scene a few weeks ago, and MJF tweeted about it. I'm like, now he's a freaking troll, of course, so he could be definitely trolling all of us, but what if he gets involved in this Bloodline Cody saga Mania or the night after? You know what? I'm going to say he does. I'm going to be bold. Let's say MJF shows up, because that would be insane.
All right. What about you, Cam? Any predictions?
I mean, if we hear his theme music hit and Cody's like mid-promo on Monday, I think Tony Khan might self-destruct. Like, honestly, we'll see a tweet about Tony Khan passed away on Monday night. he literally fucking exploded. And so did fucking Moxley and everyone else that just kind of shit all over everything over the WWE the last year or so. I mean, fuck, that would be so cool, man. Like, I would love it. I mean, I kind of thought about maybe Damian Priest cashing in at WrestleMania, maybe, like, you know, and then kind of screwing over Drew, and then Drew can just go after Judgment Day. That was like, that thought kind of crossed my mind for WrestleMania. But I mean, I don't really see anything. I can't really think of anybody like big or anyone like coming in. I mean, the MJF thing would be fucking amazing. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, Motor City Machine Guns are free agents. Maybe they show up and challenge whoever wins the tag team ladder match for a match. You know, that'll be cool. That'll spark the Ring of Honor fan base. I don't know. I just hope it's a good follow-up show. Maybe we'll get Cody's first opponent right away. Who knows? But if MJF shows up, I swear to God, like, if AEW had a headquarters, it would literally, like, explode like the Twin Towers did.
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, Tony, I mean, I tweeted out this past week, you know, Tony Khan, you know, Fulham, 1 point in 6 games against Sheffield United and then Nottingham Forest. And, of course, my team, Newcastle, plays them this week, and I'll probably be talking all this shit, and Newcastle will end up losing to them. But, yeah, I've seen this, like, kind of theory thrown out there before, and so it's not my idea. I've seen it read somewhere else, but that when Finn Balor gave Damian Priest his Senor Money in the Bank briefcase, that he actually took the contract out of it, and that he took it, and Damian Priest will try cashing in, but it won't be a contract in there, and maybe that leads to more Fall of the Judgment Day. But if Damian Priest does cash in, I think it's going to be a failed one. I mean, I like him more than a lot of people, but I thought they made him look like a complete idiot when Seth Rollins was out there talking about how hurt he was, and then him not coming out at all even to attempt to cash in, even if you just wanted to give him like a 6 week or, you know, reign and have Seth win the title back or get him involved in the trip, make it a triple threat match. I don't know, but I don't think I don't think Damian Priest is going to win if he does end up cashing in, is my thoughts. So that is our show for this week. Like I said, there's a lot going on. You got NXT on Saturday too. If you want to watch any indie shows, you can subscribe and get a free 7-day trial at Triller TV. On their app, you can watch Bloodsport from today. You can watch, there's DDT Pro Wrestling. There's Joey Janela's Spring Break Show. GCW's got a couple different shows on there. So a lot to watch this weekend, and we hope you all enjoy doing it. And we will be back to recap all of it next week. So for my co-host Cam and the chairman Steven Vincent, I am Justin C. signing off, and we will talk to you guys then.